Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Shalom, saints. All right. It is a blessing to be sharing with you this morning. Not just those of you who are here in the sanctuary, but those of you who are tuning in on iChurch via Truthcasting in English and in Spanish. Hallelujah. It is a blessing that you are joining us this morning. I'm Pastor Tom Washington. This is a church for truth seekers. We get our motivation from 2 Timothy, the second chapter, the 15th verse, which says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we are truth seekers. If you are also a truth seeker and you wish to know the Savior at a deeper level, you can start by getting to know him by his true Hebrew name, which is Yeshua. All right, hallelujah. Oh my goodness. We have had so many studies in the last few weeks. We had a lot of things going on. We had Father's Day, amen. We had Shavuot, Jubilee, Pentecost, where we were celebrating the falling down of the Holy Spirit on this earth. And so we're just thankful for all of those things. But, you know, they all fit together. Even in what we were talking about on our lesson that we haven't had for a few weeks, but it is called Hunger for Holiness. Amen. We should have a desire to live higher. Let me say that again. We should have a desire to live higher. Why? Because Yahweh has done some miraculous things in our lives. We were living one kind of way. We were depressed. We were broken. But then when he came into our lives were transformed. Do I have anybody in here with a transformed life since he's come into it? Amen. So then our desire should be that we want to live the way that he instructs us that we should be living. A lot of times we're not seeing the manifestation of the things that we need to see in our lives because we're just not following instructions. Many of you have bought items, and I said this in Bible study this Wednesday. You know how you buy something from the store that needs to be put together? And instead of reading the directions, you decide that you know enough that you're going to put it together yourself. And more times than not, there's some pieces missing. It don't work. You end up spending 2 to 3 times the amount of time that you would have spent if you had just gone on and followed the directions. The directions were already given to you. But that's the same way your salvation is. He's already given us his word. He's already given us the instructions. Why waste time? Just be obedient and do what he says and watch the blessings and the manifestations of him in your life. Does anybody want that? I want to see what he has for me. So we're talking about hunger for holiness because the word of Yahweh says, be ye holy for I am holy. So therefore, if Yahweh says it and the word says that he can't lie, then if he says that I can do it, then what does that mean? I can do it. And when we found out when we were in the study of Jubilee or Pentecost or Shavuot, which was a falling of the Holy Spirit, he says, I have given you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means what? Hurt you. So we need to walk in the power that he's given us, right? So we found out that there's two baptisms. There's the baptism of water, and then there's the baptism of the Spirit. Because he told us that he would send the power. And so I don't know about you, but I need everything that he has for me. So if he said he got power for me, I'm reaching for the power. Anybody reaching for the power? Amen. He said that that's what it was for. It was for us. So it gives us the power to be able to live. It gives us the power to be able to stand. It gives us the power to be overcomers. And so turn to Galatians, the fifth chapter. Hallelujah. So when he tells us that it is possible for us to live a holy life, what does that mean? What is the significance of that mean? Well, when he says, be ye holy for I am holy, and he wants us to live in holiness, holiness is simply, when you look in the Greek and the Hebrew, a set apart lifestyle. He simply wants to be able to tell his children from the other folks. There needs to be a difference between his children and the other folks, because if we all are acting like the other folks, what's the sense in having a transformed life? And the only way that people can really see that there's a difference in coming to him is that you live differently. That you think differently. That you act differently. Oh, wait, hold up. That you speak differently. And then when they see the blessings in your life, they'll say, whoa, what is this here that you're doing? I want some of that. Tell your neighbor, I want the victorious life. I want the victorious life. That's what we all want. So the instructions are very simple. And your job is simply to live the set apart lifestyle. And frankly, many of us are just not following the instructions. We were formerly in the world. Say formerly. Formerly means you used to do some stuff, right? You used to say some stuff. You used to pursue some stuff. But now, since he transformed you, your whole mindset should be totally different. Say, I want to live higher. Say, I'm going to live higher. Hallelujah. So when we look at Galatians, the fifth chapter, the 16th verse, it speaks to what we should be doing. And Paul, Shaul, is talking to the church. He's talking to yourself. He's talking to me. Because we are the church, right? These are the instructions. So you got to check the church people. Is it necessary to check the church people and make sure the church people are doing right? Because the church people should be doing right all the time, right? I mean, the church people don't get involved in stuff they ain't got no business to get involved in, right? But he's writing to the church. Why? Because he needed to remind the church people they've been transformed. Sometimes we forget that we're different, right? And sometimes you can't tell us apart. So he's saying, listen, I need y'all to live a set-apart lifestyle. So let's go to fifth chapter of Galatians, the 16th verse, and it says what? Then I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are what? So haven't you noticed that you find yourself wanting to do stuff? Haven't you find yourself wanting to say stuff? Wanting to respond in a certain way when you're challenged with something? And that flesh wants to say something. Sometimes y'all make me mad. And sometimes Pastor Tom, the son of Apostle Will T. Washington, wants to say what he wants to say to you. And sometimes those are strong words. Now, I don't believe in cussing, but the flesh wants to do it. Because sometimes the person, your neighbor, will stir up your flesh. Right? Because that's what we do. It's the old nature. But guess what? He's transformed us so the new nature can overcome the old nature if you let it. Any overcomers in the house? Have you overcome? Right? So for the flesh lusts against spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary. The flesh want to do stuff, the spirit want to do stuff. And you cannot do the things that you would, or the New King James Version says, you would not do the things that you wish that your flesh wants to do, right? So what do we do? How do we respond? How do we act? And so the 18th verse says, but if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So the important thing is for us to walk in the Spirit. But to walk in the Spirit, you got to have the Spirit. There are a lot of people that are trying to walk, but they don't have the power. They have half of an inheritance. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to settle for half of an inheritance. I want everything that he's got for me. If he say he got power, plug me in. I want the power, right? And so if we go here to the 19th, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Because we need to know what the flesh looks like, what the flesh acts like, so that we can avoid it. So it says, the flesh are manifest. What does that mean? The works of the flesh are evident. The works of the flesh are obvious. They're visible. They're easy to detect. They're easy to recognize. So what we've been doing in this study, if we've been going down the list and pointing out all of the things, the works of the flesh, because sometimes we act like we don't know what they are. Sometimes we want to act ignorant. And ignorance just means that we don't know. So tell your neighbor, now you know. Okay. We ain't got no excuse. Now we know. So then we were talking about some things that are just as obvious. But why do we need to know? Why do we need these things pointed out? Because they, if you get involved in them, they tamper with your set-apart lifestyle. They tamper with your blessings. They tamper with your victory. So you want to know what to look out for to make sure that you don't fall into the pitfalls that are going to hamper your progress. I don't want to fall. I want to live higher. I don't want to live, fall and get up and fall and get up like that song says. We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. You know what? That's not good enough for me. I want to stay standing. And the word of a song that I know very well from the wine, it says, it's good to know he'll be there if ever I fall, but it's better to know that I don't have to fall at all. Do you know today that you don't have to fall at all? Tell your neighbor, you don't have to fall at all. You don't. Okay. So then it says the works of the flesh are manifest. So number one was what? Adultery. We talked about that at great lengths. We talked about physical adultery. We talked about internet adultery. Hello? We talked about text adultery. We talked about phone adultery. Come on. We had to break it down because in this day and age, you say, well, they don't say nothing about texting in the Word. Well, Let's read this for a second. The works of the flesh are manifest in their adultery, fornication, we talked about that. Uncleanness, we're going to deal with that today. Lasciviousness, we're going to deal with that today. Idolatry, witchcraft, which is sorcery, hatred, variance, meaning contentions. You always want to fight. You're fighting against the system. You always want to fight against what's going on. You always want to buck the system. You always want to do it your way. I got something for you. Emulations, jealousies. You want what your brother got? Or in other words, in this day and age, you're hating. When we get blessed, look around the room. Look at all this finery going on. We shouldn't be hating. We should be congratulating. Knowing that if my neighbor can be blessed, mine is on the way. Say I'm next. Amen. So there ain't no need to be hating. What Yahweh did for them, guess what? He can do for you too. If he supplied their needs, guess what? He can supply yours. Amen. But what you got to do, you got to get yourself right, dude. You have to do this, and we're going to see that. What else? Wrath, which is outburst of anger. You, as believers, should not be having to call 911 because your family is acting a fool. Don't laugh. Some of y'all have called 911. I don't know who you are. But evidently there was some hatred or some outburst going on. Strife, which is selfish ambitions. Seditions. Wow, guess what seditions are? Division in the church. Oops. You working against what's going on. You fighting against what's going on. Ooh. Heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. I like this. You a party all the time, party all the time, party all the time. Turn up. Shake it. Drop it. Rub it down. That's your motivation. But we know what that leads to, right? I mean, some of the dances is today, good gracious. I mean, you see, it's just a bunch of shaking and wiggling, wobbling, grinding. I mean, y'all trying to act like you ain't seen it. You saw it last night? Oh, no, you didn't see it last night, I'm sorry. I'm not talking about the wedding, amen. I'm not talking about that. But some people weren't at the wedding. Some people might have been in the club somewhere. Somebody saw it Friday. But we're talking about this. You always got a party. That's your desire. Well, I didn't see some of the stuff that I do on the list. Well, read on. And it says, and such like. So that covers the internet and all that other stuff that you don't see here, but it's stuff like it, right? And it says, of which I tell you before, and I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. So it's interesting. Why am I breaking this stuff down? Because it needs to be broken down. Because like when we first started and we hit fornication, we found out that the Greek word for fornication was porneia. Well, if the Greek word for fornication is porneia, there's a whole lot of English words that come from porneia. Pornography, pornographic. Do you see the connection? This is a flesh-feeding sin that wants to draw you in, right? And if we're not careful, we can fall into it. So let's go back to uncleanness. When you hear uncleanness, what do you think of? Sin?
Somebody said dirty stuff. Throw some out to me. What's, when you think of unclean, what do you think of? Somebody said ratchet. Unsaved, what else? Stank, right? Foul. I think I'm going to write a hood Bible. And in the hood Bible, I'm going to put all of the words that y'all can relate to, because sometimes y'all act like you don't know. So I'm going to put in ratchet, foul, stank, scandalous, filthy, just so you can what? Understand this type of behavior and what it will do to your holiness. So here we're talking about uncleanness. It's from the Greek word akatharsis, and it means impurity. It means lustful motives. Check this out. It means unfit for divine service. So if you're in uncleanness and he has, what, transformed you and he's caused you to a set apart lifestyle, then if you are supposed to be set apart, if you're engaging in uncleanness, that means you're unfit for divine service. And so if you're unfit for divine service, that means that you cannot what? Serve. You cannot be set apart. You're not going to live the what? Set apart lifestyle. Guess what uncleanness also means? It means tainted. It means stained. What does lewdness mean? Lewdness means nasty. It means filthy. It means shameless. Anybody seen shamelessness? Anybody seen outrageousness? Anybody seen unbridled lust? So if we've seen those things, you know what? We're quick to point out those things in other people's lives. But sometimes we're not quick to point it out in our own. Hello? So, listen. Again, I'm telling you, I'm not called to give you an inspirational message for you to feel good. I'm called to give you an aspirational message so you can do good. Amen. So you can want to do better. And if wanting to do better makes you feel good, then hallelujah. But we should want to what? Do better. So let's go to 1 Corinthians. It always gets quiet when we start talking about this stuff. You don't want to talk about it. I want to hear about blessings. I want to feel about overflow. But check this out. If you're not going to pursue a holy life, you can count the blessings out. You ain't going to get them anyway. So you want to make sure that you're doing all that you can to make sure that you get all you can. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And I love Shaul, because he's talking, he's real, he breaks it down. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 9th verse. And it says what? Know ye not. What does that mean? Don't you know? Tell your neighbor, don't you know? Thank you for adding that, apostle. You should. You should know. Know ye not that the unrighteous? Oh, here we go. Talking about righteousness or unrighteousness. The unrighteous shall what? Not inherit. So what is inherit? That means get the blessings. Get all of the things that Yahweh has in store for you. But if you're not righteous, you're not going to what? Inherit it. In other words, you ain't going to get it. So they should not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Be not deceived. And then he begins to list some of the stuff that's going to keep you from getting it. Number one, neither fornicators, no idolaters, no adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Ooh, that's deep. There's no need for me to break that down. I believe you know what that is. Amen. Say amen. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall what? Would you say those are good qualities? Would you say that's some good things to aspire to? Yes or no? Somebody's like, I don't know. He said that those people would not inherit. All right. So then he said what? 11th verse. And such were some. The key word is were. Talk to yourself and say, that's what I used to be. You should not be a thief. You should be an ex-thief. All right. You should not be covetous. Amen. You should be an ex-covetator. You should not be a drunkard. You should be an ex-drunkard. You should not be a reviler or a partier, but you should be an ex-partier. You should not be an extortioner, but an ex-extortioner. Why? Because such were some of you. We're talking about uncleanness now. So let's go to the next verse. But ye are washed. Okay, let's say that together. But ye are washed. One more time. Let's say that again. But ye are washed. Okay, so that means that we are washed. That means that we should no longer be unclean, but once we've been washed, now we are clean. So that's what we used to do, but now we are washed. Say, I'm washed. Now, even in the natural, who likes being dirty? Listen. Sometimes we so dirty, it's not that other people smell us, we smell ourselves. And let me tell you something, when you start smelling yourself, you real dirty. That's foul, that stank. And who wants to stay that way? Nobody that I know or nobody that I want to know. But rather our desire is what? To be clean. So listen, to be washed. So that should be your spiritual objective as well. If you used to live a certain way, if you used to live uncleanly, you don't have to live like that anymore because now you are washed. But what's the next verse? But ye are sanctified. That means that you're set apart for his use now. He wants to use you, but he don't want to use no dirtiness. He wants to use clean vessels. Right? And it says what? But you are justified. So that's what we should seek to be. Let's go to Ephesians. Tell yourself, I'm clean.
I'm clean.
Tell your neighbor, we're clean.
We're clean.
We're clean. We can't get caught back up in the former lifestyle. The former lifestyle is calling us, though. Right? He'll be calling you. I'm just saying. Sometimes stank calls you. It calls you. And it calls you by your name, too. Stank knows your name. Yeah, I do. It knows your nickname. It knows everything. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 17th verse. Which speaks to this again, because the Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. I'm not just going to show you one scripture that shows you the concepts that he's speaking of. I'm going to show you many scriptures that are saying the same thing and supporting it. That's what studying is. Some people want to just read one scripture and skip out of here. But the Bible says that we are supposed to study. We need to know everything about that. So here we go. Fourth chapter of Ephesians, the 17th verse says what? This I say and testify in Yahweh that you henceforth, what does henceforth mean? No longer. Say no longer with me. I have to break this down because a lot of times when we read King James version of the Bible, it has all of the thuses and thous and shat and shants. But they didn't talk like that. This was the translations. So sometimes I got to break it down to you in plain English. So henceforth means no longer. So it says, therefore I say and testify to you that you no longer walk not as other Gentiles walk. What are Gentiles? Those are the people that are unsaved. Those are the people that are unrighteous. Those are the people who have not come to the knowledge of the Savior. Those are the people who have not been washed. So we can't act like the Gentiles. We have to act like the washed children of Yahweh, who we are. So it says, no longer walking like the Gentiles walk in the vanity. What does the vanity mean? The futility of their mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of Yahweh through. So they're alienated from their inheritance. We can't walk as the Gentiles. They're alienated from the blessings. They're alienated from what Yahweh wants to do, the transformation in their life, right? And it says, through ignorance. Ignorance means what? You simply just don't know. So say today, now I know. Right? They just don't know. And it says, the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. 19th verse, who being past feeling. What does that mean? Past feeling. Sometimes unsaved folks, unregenerated, untransformed folks will do stuff so much and they'll do wrong so much that they no longer have a conscience for it. They can kill, they can steal, they can do all those things and they don't feel nothing. There's no remorse, right? The conscience is just gone. But these are the unrighteous. You as believers, you shouldn't find yourself in any place like that. Because you've overcome the world. Say, I've overcome the world. Right? And it says they have given themselves over. Oh, here we go. Now we're talking about today, we're talking about uncleanness and lasciviousness. You have to give yourself over to it. Say that. Say, they have given themselves over. That has a connotation that the enemy can't make me do it. I have to give myself to it. Right? So check this out. If you're going to give yourself to something, why not just give yourself to Yahweh? Why not just turn it over to him? Because otherwise, either way, you're surrendering to something. The Bible says, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Amen. Is it going to be him? Or is it going to be the enemy, right? Amen. And so they're giving themselves over unto what? Lewdness, unbridled lust, outrageousness, shamelessness. And you give yourselves over to that to do this. And it says, to work. So say they've given themselves over to work. Say it again. They've given themselves over to work. So they've given themselves over to lewdness to work what? All uncleanness with greediness. So they just want to just do it. And they just not just want to do it, they want to keep on doing it. And greediness means that you got more than you need. You just want it all. Right? Why would you turn your... So in the world, they turn themselves over to work, what? Uncleanness with greediness. So have you guys heard of the people who get caught up with, like, sexual, they call it sexual addiction? Tiger Woods. Let's go there. He gets hit upside the head with a golf club. Oh, is that what it was? And what did he say? He had his wife, and he cheated on his wife with how many different women? Who remembers the headline? Give me a number. Okay, well, y'all don't know about Tiger Woods. Let's go to the, who's the basketball player? Wilt Chamberlain. Now, Wilt Chamberlain had how many different women? 20,000. One man, well, so he claims, right? He said it was 20,000. It could have been more. Amen. But one man has given himself over to 20,000 women. So he turned himself over to uncleanness with greediness. Because if 20,000 ain't greedy, I don't know what is. But what do they call it? They have a name for it now. They call it sexual addiction. So Tiger had to get treatment for his sexual addiction. I wish that I had about 5 minutes with Tiger, because I will tell him, you don't need treatment. You just need to seek the kingdom. You need to get what the kingdom of Yahweh has for you. You just need to get saved. You just need to hear the gospel. Hallelujah. And he can deliver you from what? All. Somebody say all. We serve a God that can deliver you out of all. Everything. Right? So we put a name on it, but guess, let me tell you what it is. The Bible is speaking to sexual addiction right here. It's saying they've turned it over. What does that mean? I can't help myself. No. You can help yourself. You turned yourself over. Listen, if you got 20,000 women, that's a lot of work. So you have chosen that you're willing to put in the work to get with 20,000 women. Even cheating, man. I mean, you know, having my wife is enough work. I don't need to cheat. I ain't got time for that. Why? Because you got to think of, how do you cover that up? Where you at, baby? You got to come up with a different story every time. What the song, he said, it's cheaper to keep her. Because he knew that it was a whole lot of work to go through all that. Okay, so 20th verse. But you have not so learned Mashiach, right? 21. If so be that you have heard him and you have been taught by him and the truth is in Yeshua. Okay, this is what I wanted to take you to. 22nd. That ye put off concerning the former conversation. So here we go again. He's putting off means I got to do something. What does he tell us? In some scriptures, he tells us to put on. In other scriptures, he tells us to put off. So he's telling us here, you put off concerning the former conversation. Conversation in the Greek and the Hebrew means lifestyle. Put off the old lifestyle. What does that mean? Dude, it means some of the people that you used to hang with, you can't hang with them no more. Because if you hang with them, they're going to pull you back into the former conversation or the former lifestyle. If you're trying to get away from smoking weed, why are you hanging out with weed smokers? Because the more you hang out with weed smokers, you're going to find yourself falling back into the former lifestyle. If you're trying to stay away from excess drinking, why are you at the bar ordering water? Why? Because you're going to find yourself being pulled back into the what? Former conversation. So it says, put off the former conversations concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, right? And 24 says, and that you, somebody say put on. So we put off, and then we put on. Say put off, put on. Put off the old, put on the new. Who has to do it? You got to do it. I can't do it for you. But sometimes I wish, my mother used to say when I was about to do something wrong, she used to say, ah. How do you spell that? A-H-T. Ah. Meaning what? Hold up. Stop. No. So a lot of times I find myself trying to creep back into the old man way of thinking, an old man way of doing. Because sometimes people do something that makes you want to sock them in the throat. But the difference between now is that I can think about socking them in the throat, but the Holy Ghost says, oh no, I. That's not you. No more. Sometimes I want to say something, and don't think you're bad because it rises up in your mind, because you got the sinful nature. But now you have the Holy Spirit that counteracts that. So that's why the Bible says you can be angry, because sometimes I get angry and I want to throw my hand out the window. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? But the Holy Ghost says, praise me. Bless them. Don't curse them. Because a lot of times you think you're bad. You think something's wrong with you because you got sinful thoughts. No, you don't own those thoughts. It's the flesh. But hallelujah, I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost that totally cancels out the flesh if you let it. It cancels it out. It cancels it out. So I got to tell you, put off and put on. Say, put off the old, put on the new. That is where he wants us to be. And that's where we should desire to be. And we'll talk more about that next time we come together. Father Yahweh, thank you for putting off what you've given us the power to.